Beck here on Kate Radio. It's a Mike Graham Monday. We always play some rock and roll music for the headbanger we know as Mike Graham. Mike, a good afternoon. Of course, the voice of Gopher football and sports director, Minnesota News Network, joins us. And Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, yeah. And Monday, a little chilly for my taste, but I guess it's a good tune-up for the months ahead. But otherwise, doing awesome.
Well, let's jump right into it. The game that you brought to us on Kate Radio on Saturday afternoon, a game against Illinois, 26-14, Illinois with the victory against our Gophers. And we knew going into the game it was going to be a tough game. And I think the perception of the Big Ten West has definitely changed. Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, probably the favorites before the season. Purdue and Illinois are staking claim saying, hey, we are probably the favorites to win the Big Ten West. Give Illinois a lot of credit, especially their defense. They held the Gophers, I think, to under 200 yards of offense on Saturday. Gophers got beat, but Illinois, just like Purdue, showed on Saturday for that given day, they were the better team.
Yeah, and I thought it was a markedly different game than the Purdue game. I thought in the Purdue game, you know, the Gophers moved the ball. They just made some key mistakes at the wrong times or didn't make plays when they had available plays to make, which to me was still a little encouraging because it was, hey, those are correctable more often than not. I think that team's going to make plays when they're available. And you just ended up losing a game you probably felt like you should win. I did not get that sense this past Sunday. I thought that was a clear controlling game by Illinois. The Gophers, really, you think about it, the one touchdown came after the 92-yard kick return. They just didn't have anything going. There were not plays to be made necessarily. I mean, there were a couple of plays that turned into interceptions for Illinois that, you know, maybe a receiver could have gone and broken up. But that defense is good. You know, you and I had talked about this maybe even in the preseason. I was bullish on Illinois. I didn't think they'd be this good. I didn't think they'd be, you know, winning the division. But all along, I always thought they're going to have a say in who wins the West, either because they're going to pull off an upset or two. And at that time, we thought, yeah, you know, I thought, hey, they might knock off of Wisconsin. And remember at the start of the year, and that doesn't mean that, you know, the media knows anything, that big media poll that they do at the Big Ten Media Days, Wisconsin was picked to win it. Iowa was picked second. Purdue was picked third. I'm sorry, Nebraska was picked third, and Minnesota was picked fourth. So, and Purdue fifth, and Illinois sixth or seventh. I don't know where they were finishing. So that tells you what the media knows about how it all, you know, would unfold. But I really was bullish on Illinois. I thought I do not bet, as you know. I do follow it though, just because I want to have a grasp of what the public is thinking and what the algorithms are thinking. And I thought the absolute lock, if I had $1 million to bet and you could only place one bet at the start of the season, I would have taken, and I told friends this in August, the over on Illinois at 4.5 wins. I thought that was a slam dunk, and obviously they're already bowl eligible, and they're already a game and a half over that. I couldn't believe when I saw that it was a 4.5 over-under. So they've surprised people. It hasn't been a huge surprise to me, although I didn't think they'd be this good. And to me, I thought the Gophers would win the game. I did. I thought the Gophers would win the game, and especially true if the starting quarterback didn't play. But DeVito played, and he was good. He showed no effects whatsoever, Aaron, of that injured ankle that forced him to miss, you know, the second half of the Iowa game the week before. So, you know, was it just one day that they're the better team, or are they just simply the better team? I don't know, but I will say this, they controlled that game from start to finish.
Now, Mike, one thing that I noticed, and you look at the stats for a passing, 38 yards through the air for a Minnesota on Saturday, and I'm watching our receivers, and I know our top receiver is out right now. I think that's a spot where the Gophers are lacking, because some people will say, well, what happened to Tanner Morgan? He used to have, you know, big games and be one of the top quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Well, at one time he was throwing to a couple of guys that ended up playing on Sundays in the NFL, or are playing on Sundays in the NFL. Our wide receivers, I thought, dropped too many passes. They don't seem to be getting as much space or separation against the defensive backs. And to me, just watching the game on Saturday, that was one of the big keys offensive-wise is, again, I didn't think our receivers were getting themselves open, and when they were open, they just weren't catching passes.
Yeah, you know, not just before. I mean, 3 weeks ago, Tanner Morgan was Big Ten Player of the Week. You know, I mean, and the receivers had a phenomenal game, probably the best receiving game in terms of going to get the ball. I think we talked about that after that Michigan State game. They went and got the ball. They caught the ball in traffic. There were no drops. There were only three incompletes. And I know Michigan State's been struggling, although they just beat Wisconsin this past weekend. So, you know, it can't be that they're that terribly awful. And the Gophers were clicking on all cylinders that day. So it's just bizarre, right, that 3 weeks later, I think you're right. I thought the receiving corps went from having maybe the best receiving day I've seen in terms of just, you know, the statistically maybe not, although it was a good statistical day as well, but just guys coming off of knowing that the injury was to Chris Altman-Bell, and they produced and they performed and they caught the ball, made some tough catches, came back to get the ball in that Michigan State game, and they did not do that against Purdue, and then especially did not do that this past weekend. So, yeah, I think that's a spot that they have to get back to what it looked like in the Michigan State game. And P.J. Fleck in the post game basically said what you just said, that's a specific position group, and, you know, he's a former receiver himself, so you know he has high expectations for that position group. That's a group that has to get itself elevated back to what we saw in East Lansing 3 weeks ago.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher Sports and, of course, sports director at the Minnesota News Network. Tanner Morgan, he got knocked out of the game. What's the latest status that you know about Tanner?
Yeah, as we talk, I don't know that. When I saw it live and then watched the replay from the broadcast booth, I thought it was for sure an ankle injury, and quite frankly, I thought it might be a catastrophic ankle injury, the way you saw his left ankle roll the wrong way. It didn't, you know, usually when you roll an ankle, it rolls outward. This rolled inward, and it looked terrible. And then he did get up and limped off, but under his own power, which I thought was amazing, given how that looked. And then after the game, P.J. Fleck in the post-game interview said it was an upper body injury. And I didn't even notice when I was watching the replay during the broadcast that Tanner got punched in the head. And I do not believe that to be – I saw a lot of people speculating that was a dirty play. I think if you watch the replay, you know, when a quarterback's running, you try to punch the ball out. And I thought the guy was trying to punch the ball, and then just as he went to punch, Tanner kind of ducked, and the head got in the way. So I'm sure the guy's hand didn't feel much better either, thinking he was going to punch a pigskin, and ended up getting a hard helmet on the hand as well. That said, it doesn't mean it can't be a penalty. It probably should have been a penalty. It probably wouldn't have changed. Well, it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game. But I didn't see that part of it, so I don't know what the injury is, and we'll probably find out more today. P.J. Fleck has his news conference as usual on a Monday. So is it a head injury? Is it ribs? I don't know what it was. I thought for sure watching it was something to do with the ankle, but he walked off under his own power, and then P.J. said in the post game that it was an upper body injury. So we'll find out more today. If he plays, that would be fine, because it's a tough task coming up, right? A whiteout primetime under the lights game. And if he doesn't play, then you're throwing likely a redshirt freshman, Ethan Kaliagmanis, into quite a situation on Saturday night. So we shall see what the outcome is.
Gophers and Penn State coming up on Saturday, 4:30. Your pregame, we'll have your kickoff at 6:30 with, of course, the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm. And, Mike, how about the scene in Tennessee on Saturday? They take care of Alabama, 100,000-plus fans in that stadium. They take down the goalpost, and I heard they threw the goalpost in the river. I guess when you celebrate a victory that you don't beat a team too often, maybe you just don't know how to celebrate it. And Tennessee fans, they went a little overboard. But how about the Volunteers knocking off the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, well, and Tennessee is one of those storied programs that has kind of lost the luster in recent years, right? I mean, they were national champs as recently as, is it 99? I think they won the national title somewhere in there. You know, and they had all that great tradition, and they have, you know, they just haven't been able to produce that. They've gone through a bunch of coaches. They had some NCAA issues. And so I think that's a hungry fan base, a passionate fan base. Quite frankly, reminds me a little of Nebraska out of the Big Ten with this great storied tradition, and they've just been going sideways at best, you know, and they keep firing coaches trying to figure it out. And eventually they probably will. And Tennessee apparently has stumbled onto it here. They've got an unbelievable quarterback who could win the Heisman. The name, image, and likeness thing, I think, has helped them elevate the talent on the roster. And they got a big home win. They hadn't beaten Alabama in a long time. And you know what? Part of their demise has come at about the same time that Alabama kind of re-elevated, because Alabama was kind of meandering through the forest with the Mike Shulas of the world and the, you know, some of those other guys in there until Saban got there. Remember when Saban took over, I think he was 6-6 in his first year. So I don't blame them. They're a passionate fan base. They got a big win that they've been waiting for a while. It's been kind of fun. I obviously was not able to watch any of that game because we were flying home, and I did listen to the end of it on my drive home. I was listening to it. But since then, watching some of the videos that have come out on social media of fans celebrating, and yeah, they got the goalpost down, and then they got them out of the stadium. I had not heard, Aaron, that they had thrown them in the river. So
they
that
threw it in the river, yeah.
Thing. Crazy. And, you know, Neyland Stadium is pretty cool. I've not been there. That's one on the bucket list someday on a bye week. You know, we make these annual treks. Some year a game at Tennessee is going to be on that bucket list, and I'm going to figure out a way you can boat to the game and then dock right outside the stadium and then walk to the stadium from the docks. And so someday I'll do that, but it's a cool spot. Remember years ago, probably 20 years ago, I suppose, 2002, I think it was. In fact, that's probably 20 years ago this next month, when the Iowa fans tore down the goalpost in our Metrodome and then tried to get it out the revolving door, and of course that didn't work. So at least the Tennessee fans figured out how to get the goalpost out of the stadium, something the Hawkeye fans could not figure out at the Metrodome.
They really tried to get the goalpost out of the dome.
Yeah, the one upright broke, and so they had the upright and, you know, those revolving doors, and they were trying to figure out. So it ended up getting not leaving the Metrodome. And then Iowa ended up having to pay for that, pay for those goalposts that they tore down. And I did see that Tennessee, there's a mandatory fine if you rush the field. That was a new rule a few years ago in the SEC after, I forget, some fans got hurt someplace. And so I think they got fined $50,000, which they'll gladly pay and let the fans have some fun.
There is a fundraising page somewhere online where you can donate to Tennessee to buy a new goalpost if you want to help the volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, with the SEC network getting that billion-dollar deal, I think Tennessee can probably buy their own goalpost. I am not going to partake in donating to the goalpost fund at UT. No, I'm going to pass on that one.
Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports, sports director, Minnesota News Network, joining us for our normal Monday conversation. And let's go to South Beach yesterday. Vikings beat the Miami Dolphins 24-16. A game that was probably a closer than it should have been at the end, but once again, the Vikings make the plays to win the game. They're 5-1, and anyone that's in the boat going, well, they're 5-1, but they haven't really beat anybody and they haven't looked that good. If you look at the upsets yesterday that happened in the NFL, and Mike, you've mentioned this before, there is so much parity in the NFL. I mean, a team can beat any team on any given Sunday, and that is totally true, completely true, for this season, that you should never apologize for being 5-1. You should never apologize for your schedule, because you just go out there and win. I mean, Tampa Bay got beat by a bad Pittsburgh team. Green Bay gets beat at home by the Jets yesterday. So no Viking fan should be apologetic for a 24-16 win.
Yeah, never in the Big Ten or the NFL should any team apologize for a road win. I don't care who it's against or where it comes from. No doubt. And in the Vikings case yesterday, I agree with you. You mentioned the score probably shouldn't have been that close late. And on the flip side, I'd probably say the score probably shouldn't have been that close early, and it should have been the Vikings maybe down 15 or 14 nothing, 17-3, something like that, right?
Absolutely.
They were getting gashed, and they were able to hang in, and, you know, the Dolphins self-destructed with penalties, and twice were in field goal range and penalized or sacked their way out of it. But that you're 100% right. First of all, let's just enjoy the wins. One of my friends tweeted yesterday, a Vikings fan, he's like, this is shaping up to be one of those wins that feels like a loss. And I'm like, that you're doing it wrong, pal. You're doing it wrong. If any win feels like a loss, and I get it. I was, you know, I complained about the Twins late. It was hard to enjoy those wins, but that's for a whole nother topic for another day. So occasionally I get it, and Minnesota sports fans have just been, you know, kicked in the groin enough that it, you know, I get it, I understand. But yesterday was not one of those days that should have felt like a loss. That should absolutely feel like a win, with what they dealt with and all the different things. And yes, they didn't have their starting quarterback, and they didn't have a starting offensive lineman or two and all that stuff, but you get the win and you move on. And you're right about you look around the NFL, like fans, do they, like, I think because we know our own warts, you know, and you know your own flaws better than anybody else, if you watch any other game, the team that wins always has bad plays. There's not a lot of perfect games where you just, in the NFL, because both teams are talented and there's parity, there's not a lot of games where the team's just going to win 30-0. You know, it's not like Alabama or Ohio State or, you know, Oklahoma in their heyday or anything like that. These are all good teams. The worst can beat the best. And this is what winning football is like in the NFL. You have to win ugly. There are always portions of a game that go haywire. The Baltimore Ravens, I think, are one of the best teams in the league, and they have figured out ways to lose games, which they haven't done for years this year. Doesn't mean they're terrible. It just means that's life in the NFL. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, if you're 5-1, you are what your record says. Now, the Eagles look pretty good, but, you know, we've talked about this before on this show. You go back last year, the L.A. Rams won it all. The Rams lost. They were on a 3-game losing streak in the middle of the year. After they had that hot start, they were like 8-1. Then they lost 3 in a row. They lost their the final game of the season bad to San Francisco. And people were like, well, another wasted year. Did they make a mistake, you know, trading for all those old guys? And then they got hot and won the Super Bowl. And now we all look back like, boy, that was a dominant team. And they were dominant at times, but they also were very much struggling at times. And the year before that, the Buccaneers, I think they had 5 games left in the year, and they weren't even in the playoff picture at that point, right, with Tom Brady. And then they got hot. They upset Aaron Rodgers. They win the Super Bowl over Pat Mahomes, and everyone thinks of them as some dominating team, and they just weren't. And so, you know, if the Vikings are to do the unthinkable and win it all, a year from now we'll all be thinking how dominant they were, even if they weren't. So you take them as they go. You win the game, you take the win, and now they got a bye week, which is, I'm sure, welcome for them.
You got to give the defense a lot of credit yesterday. Skylar Thompson, if he doesn't get knocked out of the game, I'm not sure if it's not a different game. I mean, I've always been a huge, big-time Teddy Bridgewater fan, but Teddy, there's a reason why he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. He showed that yesterday. But give the defense credit, because there's been times the offense has had to bail them out after the defense has given up a lead. But yesterday, against a team, like you mentioned, lacking a starting quarterback, lacking some offensive linemen, the defense came to play, and they were one of the big reasons why they won.
Yeah, maybe the biggest reason. 3 turnovers and 6 sacks. That said, would you believe if I told you Teddy Bridgewater yesterday was 23 of 34? For 329 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Even after all of that, he still had 329 yards. So the defense gave up some chunk plays. I mean, the receiving core for the Dolphins is so good. Hill had 177. Waddle had 129. But the defense made plays when they had to. There's no doubt. The sacks were huge. The pressure was huge. 2 interceptions. And the biggest play of the game probably was the forced fumble that Harrison Smith punched the ball out on Waddle. And I forget who recovered it now. For the Vikings, was it Peterson? I can't remember now. But
I don't remember.
That was probably the biggest play of the game, because if they move in there and score, the whole thing changes. And so it was monstrous. So as much as Teddy Bridgewater struggled, you look at his stat sheet and you're like, boy, 329 yards, that was pretty incredible. And the Vikings defense made the plays when they had to, for sure.
Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And Mike, before I let you go, thoughts on baseball playoffs right now. Philadelphia and San Diego in the NLCS. The Yankees take on the Guardians tonight. Winner of Game 5 gets the Houston Astros in the ALCS. Houston, I mean, they got to the World Series last year before losing to the Braves. To me, they're the best team in baseball going into the postseason. They're the best team that's left. I think a lot of people are pulling for whoever wins on the other side, San Diego or the Phillies, to beat Houston or possibly the Yankees in the World Series. Your thoughts as we get closer to the Final Four in baseball?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me about this, because I thought of you today when I saw when I was just kind of catching up on baseball, because I was busy over the weekend. Even though the Twins have not won the series in a long time, and even though they petered out at the end of the season, what was I always telling you all summer when fans were trying not to enjoy the season? You just never know if you get in the tournament. And I know the Twins have had their postseason failures, but look at what I'm talking about. The Phillies won 87 games, right, in the regular season. Everyone in Philly, as they're going in, is probably like, well, they're not going anywhere anyway, you know, what this and that. And now they're a few wins away from maybe playing for it all, going against the Padres, who also were what, an 80-some win team. Yep. We just knocked off a team that won 100 and however many, 10 or whatever it was, 111 wins, I think, right, that the Dodgers had. So that's why I keep saying if you're in the thick of it, you just never know. I watch personally the 06 Cardinals. I covered that. I was doing post-game shows for them, and I'm telling you, in August, people were really down on that team, and then they made a couple of trades, and all of a sudden they got hot and got a couple breaks in the postseason, and they win it all. And, you know, we've cited others. The Braves last year were a 500 team, I think, late in that year. Now, they were really good this year, and guess what? The Phillies knocked them out. No one figured that. So that's why I preach all the time, because everyone says, oh, the Yankees and Dodgers. The Yankees and Dodgers have won, what, 2 World Series in 20 years? That's
correct, yeah.
3 maybe. And so that's why you just never know. As down as it is to be a Twins fan, you know, and who knows, if they had gotten in this year, if they had just stayed healthy and stayed hot and maybe made one more trade and whatever, and I'm not even trying to defend the Twins. I'm defending my thought that the point is you got to get in the tournament because you never know. The Guardians, they win tonight, they might be in the World Series, right?
Correct,
they have
yeah.
a great starting pitching that they're willing to let ride, you know, and that's the whole point of why you want to get in the tournament. As you mentioned, the Astros and the Dodgers were the two best teams, and one of those has already been eliminated, and the other is you know, on its way. Who knows where they end up, but the other three teams, I don't think they were, you know, certainly they weren't favored, obviously, when you're talking about who's in there. And even the Mariners, who do they give? They give the Yankees some trouble, right? So that's why, or I forget who they matched up with.
Houston.
Yeah, and that's why you play them, and that's why you you want to get into the thing, you know, because you just never know.
I follow Sox Twitter, White Sox Twitter, and there is many Sox fans going, how can any Sox fans cheer for the Guardians? And I'm like, so you want us to cheer for the Yankees? Are you crazy?
Yeah, right.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, I know they're rivals in our division, but no, I ain't cheering for the Yankees. I hope Cleveland takes care of business tonight and gets Houston. Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, sports director, Minnesota News Network, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports. Mike, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Always great to chat with you, Aaron. Let's talk next week for sure.